No, it makes sense. I suppose makes a lot of sense. You know, when you take it from the other guy's point of view, when you look at it from his side, that's something I never did before, get into the other guy's head. So yeah, it makes sense. And for them to go to all this trouble tonight, to take the time to do me, then there must be something seriously wrong. With my life, I mean. It's time to wake up. Time to grow up. So, this morning I cleaned out my room. Got a couple of black plastic bags and cleaned the pit out. Three in all the shit I've collected over the years. Me football posters, me medals, me trophies, me old kit, me drawings of Stevie G, and the painting I did of the famous Liverpool squad that won the European Cup in 05. I got rid of all that. It's just weighing stuff. And you know, it's not right to still hang on to that stuff, especially when, you know, when you have a weighing yourself. I'm going to look on it like it's a new day. An opportunity. Not to be that guy. The one who got all stroppy when he sent a text. That's right, he sent me a text. I went fucking mad. I couldn't believe it. Meet us in the back lane, Doherty Shops, Tuesday, 8 p.m. That's what it said. And, oh aye, they put a smiley face at the end of the text. Like it was some sort of sick joke. Like, they were trying to be funny about the whole thing. But it's my legs that are going to be done in, not theirs. My knees. So, you know, as a joke, I texted them back. I say, sorry, doing me hair that night. And I put a wee frowny face. Just, you know, to fuck with them. They didn't see the joke. They didn't text back. Instead, they burnt me wheelie bin. They set fire to it and pushed it up against me front door. Except it wasn't my door or my wheelie bin. It was me mum's. She wasn't happy. She says, son, take your oil. Take your oil, son. So I says again, it's not your knees. It's not your legs, ma. And all she can say is, take your oil, son, you done wrong. Wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. It was an accident. You know, I didn't want it to happen. It was just a stupid thing that happened and some old woman ended up getting 20 stitches in her head. You know, I swear, on my son's life, it was an accident. But they don't see it that way. And, you know, there might be something to that. Maybe there's something here I'm not seeing. You know, maybe the guy who did that to that old woman should go up to Craig in the night. Because I'm sick and tired of him. I'm sick of his excuses, his drinking, his smoking, his dealing to do more smoking. I'm sick of him. You see, that's what I mean by seeing it from the other guy's point of view. So, I painted the front door, rang the council to give me my new bin. And like the good son and the good dad that I'll try to be, I texted them back. Okay. I'll be there.
Let's get one thing straight. I don't get a kick out of it. Let's put that fact to bed before I even start trying to explain what it is I do. The wheelie bin was to get his mother's attention. And once you get the ma's attention, you get the kid's attention. So at the risk of repeating myself, I get no joy out of inflicting pain on some young fella, no matter what he did. No, and I'll tell you right now, it's quite a thing to walk out of an alley hearing the screaming and the moaning and the crying behind you. It's, what's the word? Traumatic. For all parties concerned. For him. For me. For his family. For my family. We're all victims here. Every time I do it, a wee piece of me dies. Seriously. I'm 48, and I swear to Christ I feel about twice that. But as I tell myself, like I tell everyone else, it has to be done. And somebody has to do it. And that person is me. I'm the one who has to shoot this kid tonight. Not because I want to, but because I have to.
Here goes. You like that? Sounds the biz, right? That's me Gibson Les Paul. It's actually the same make as the one Slash used in Guns N' Roses. I love Slash, love him. I wanted to call me Kid Slash, but she wasn't having it. She says Slash sounds like something you do in a toilet. That's what you get when you hook up with an older woman. She's way old. She told me she was 25 the night we met on Earth, but I knew that was crap because I knew she already had a kid who threw himself in the foil. So that would make her way old. Anyway, we agreed on another name. Axel. Axel. Not bad. It looks good on my neck too. I have a tattoo of his name and date of birth on my neck. It's cool, huh?
Shite. Just throw my paintbrush onto the fucking carpet. She'll be furious. I'm painting the back bedroom for the missus. It's my second go at it. What I mean is, it's the first time I'm painting the bedroom, the second time I'm married. Sheila is her name. She knows what I do and she'll tell you. She'll tell you about this town. Going to the dogs, she'll say. The youth today are drinking and drugging their lives away. Yeah, that's a good line. Like a poem, isn't it? Skittles would like that. He's me kid. Derry's best rapper. Like Eminem. He calls himself Skittles. Seriously, it's not a joke. But that line, the youth today are drinking and drugging their lives away. He might be able to use that. Anyway, my point is, whatever preconceptions you may have read about in the papers, whatever opinion you were going to bring to this table about me being some mindless thug or something bent on merciless vengeance, well, you can throw that crap out right now. Okay, I deal out punishment, but it has to be done. Otherwise, I'm just the kind of guy you find up a ladder in my second wife's back bedroom, painting her ceiling and making up poems in my head.
Here's the heartbreaker. This is the last thing you gotta let go of. I gotta get rid of my guitar. I gotta take it down cash generator and sell it. Now, as much as I love this guitar, I gotta get some money to get my kid a Christmas present. But that's alright. It's all part of growing up. It's all part of going up. The Craigan.
You see what I mean? Does that sound like a mobster's car? It doesn't. It's a piece of shit. Right, we're off. Got to go on a little trip across the border. That's where the hide is. Jesus, to think I used to drive a Merc once. In America, back in the day. That's right, I was a man of means. Had a good job in Clancy's, great wee bar in Michigan. Made maybe a ton and a half a night. I couldn't believe it. It was back when I was on the run, you see, back in the early 90s. I was serving up cold brewskis to hot babes in downtown Detroit. Jesus, I had it all. I was on the pig's back. Of course, then the pigs got on my back. I had to come home.
Don't like an indie town. Not lately. Everyone knows, you know? It was in the papers. And they reported the incident. They interviewed the Isle One's daughter. Oh, she kicked up such a stink. Me ma saw it, made me turn myself in. To the cops. They put that in the paper and all. Like, they've nothing else to report. Lots of shit goes on in this town. There's a new bridge. There's a new art centre. There's a fucking city of culture on. Do they report on that? Well, yeah, they do, but do you know what I mean? What I did isn't news. Old people get robbed all the time.
Hey, Jay! I hear you're far as a night wanker!
See what I mean about going into town?
Yeah, I had to come back to Derry. Skittles got sick. And while I was home, two planes hit the World Trade Centre. So after Skittles recovered, I tried to get back on the Canadian border. I was stopped. I was on their terrorist list. Me and Cat Stevens. I got thrown back here where I was arrested on charges I'd run away from in the first place. Did a year in McGavery and now, a decade later, here's where you find me. In this broken down piece of shit car, and instead of earning a ton and a half a night, I have a part-time job delivering pizza. Yes, my glittering career in America effectively over. Just like Cat Stevens. Still, that's a good line too, don't you think? I was on the pig's back and then the pig's got my back. What's called Skittles?
What do I owe you, mate? €50, please.
Jesus, petrol is as dear over the border as it is in Derry now. This kneecap and lark is getting very expensive. I mean, the boss man throws me €100 expense money. Then out of that, there's the petrol money. Then there's the two kids I have to take along in case the victim runs. Victim. Sort of the wrong word. That implies that he's been wronged. When in fact, it's the victim that's done the wrong. Our terminology is all wrong. Like giving someone a punishment beating. Just look at that term. Punishment beating. Makes us look bad. I'm pushing for a more positive phraseology. Like, sometimes we have to kick people out of town. Give them their marching papers. I like to think of that as a programme for encouraging troubled youth to seek new and exciting horizons. That's not a joke, by the way. One kid we had, we gave him a severe warning, so he packed himself off to Paris. It's true. One minute he's peddling shit on the streets of Rosemont, and the next thing, through our intervention, I hasten to add, we hear he's on the Rue de Montmartre, shagging some mademoiselle. Good for him, I say. It beats delivering pizza for a living. Wish someone would kick me out of this shithole.
Cash generator's such a rip. They said the Les Paul was fake. I wanted at least 400 for it, but all they offered me was 40 quid. Bastards! I wanted to get Axel a nice Christmas present and have a bit left over for a few cans. And the cash generator guy says, eBay, you gotta be careful. He said he was doing me a favour, taking it off me. A fucking fake!
You like that? That's Skittles. He's quite popular about the town. When they opened the new bridge, he was one of the acts they had playing. He doesn't swear, you see. That's what they like about him. He's cross-community as well. His partner is from the waterside and a Protestant. They love that. Skittles is also gay, so he's ticking so many cultural boxes at the moment. So they had him rapping rhymes about peace and love and understanding, which I'm all for, by the way. We just go about it different ways. Must give him a ring.
I'm affronted. First of all, everything in this toy shop is way expensive. The week earlier, the shop assistant felt sorry for me and she said she might have some water damage stock in the back. She said, oh, it's only the packaging that's damaged, not the actual toy. I'm affronted. But that wasn't bad enough. Just as she's about to go in the back, she asked me what age Axel is. I couldn't remember. Now, is he 4 or 5 or maybe he's 6? Then, quick as a flash, the wee assistant says, he's 5. I couldn't believe it. Like, how did she know? It was like she was Darren Brown or something. And I said, how do you know that? And she says, I just read the tattoo on your neck. As I say, I'm affronted.
Hey, Skittles, this is your dad. Got a good line for you. The youth of today, drinking and drugging their lives away. What do you think? Get back to me, Skittles. You might be able to work that in, son. Okay, see you. Bye. You won't work that in.
I've got 15 quid left. You know, take out the bus fare up to get me kid, and I'll have 12 left for smokes and beer. You can't earn a living in this town. Once I tried a bit of dealing to make ends meet, but them bastards with the hoods wore me off it. One good thing about tonight is I'll be able to apply for disability. So that's where I'm going now, to the brew to get me form in early.
I'm not surprised he didn't answer. Skittles isn't talking to me at the moment. We had a bit of a blowout last week. You see, he's up on his high horse with this city of culture thing at the moment. He's getting lots of gigs, but people know what his dad does, and it's bothering him. So last week, I called round to have a chat with him about it. I brought along a pizza as a peace offer. A special one I made up myself in the shop. Extra topping and pineapple, which I don't like, but he does. To show I'm making an effort, I bring it in, piping hot, into his gaff, and then he gets all Jeremy Paxman on me. Why do you do it? What are you against? So I lost the rag and I said, what am I against? I'm not against anything. I'm for this city, Skittles, like you, for Derry. It's as simple as that. And when this place comes under threat, that's when we take action. Once it was the Brits, now it's the drug dealers, scumbags, hoods. Ask yourself this, I said to him. Where's the heroin in the city? Where? So there you have it. In a nutshell, that's what I told him. In no uncertain terms. The evening ended with me alone, picking the pineapple off the pizza in the car.
The dough laughed me out of the place. Some wee squirt in a tie looked at the form. Laughing at me he was, not up his sleeve, but right in my face. He won't process me application. He looked at the form and under the question, describe your disability, I put lame in one leg, possibly both. He even put tomorrow's date on it. They laughed me out of the place. Come back, they says, when you're actually disabled, you granny bashing freak. You see, everyone knows. Jesus, I'm trying my best here. I am walking the walk. I'm going up that hill to Craigan. That's my cross. And you think somebody would appreciate that fact?
Keep it out here in the hide. It's one of those half-built, half-finished estates over the border. The gun is a low-velocity weapon. Soft tissue damage is all we're interested in these days. It's painful. Really painful. Fucker thinks he's gonna die. But he'll recover. Hopefully, he'll have learnt his lesson. In the old days, this guy tonight would have got the old six-pack. Elbows, knees and ankles. You don't do that anymore. As I told the boss man, you can't be doing that, especially now in the city of culture. Skittles would have been proud.
So it's like this. I lose it. Completely lose it with the bus driver. I've been humiliated by the dole, and here's a guy making fun of me in front of his passengers. All I'm trying to do is get the bus to see me kid and give him his present, and then this guy says, hiya, Jay. I hear you're that new cowboy. And I don't know what he's talking about. What new cowboy? And he's all laughing and banging the steering wheel. He says, you know, hop along the casualty. Pissing himself he was. That's when I fucking lose it.
No problem. No, I'm free, but I have to disappear at about 8 for half an hour. Cheers. That's the pizza place. The missus won't be happy. I promised I'd finish that bedroom for her. It'll have to wait.
I grab the bus driver by the collar and shout in his face. Very funny. Very fucking funny. But I've a question for you. Have you ever asked Slash would he like the chicken or the beef? That shut him up. That shut him up in his stupid passengers.
Christ.
What an earful she gave me. That fucking bedroom's only half done. I said I have to go to work, and she says, you've been at it a month. I told her I'd get it finished. She says, when will it be finished? And I said, when it's finished, right? That's when it will be finished. Bit harsh. But there you go.
He doesn't realise, you see, the bus driver. He doesn't see the real me. The one that's going to wake up tomorrow in hospital. The guy that used to have ambition will be back. Drive. Imagination. The guy that got himself in front of Slash in a London hotel asking, do you want the chicken or the beef?
I'll make it up to her. She's great though, my Sheila. Changed my life. Turned me around. After I came back from America, I was a bit down on myself. There was peace going on all over the place. No, really. You couldn't walk down the street without peace being shoved down your throat. So I had nothing to do. My whole youth was that. My whole education was reading, rioting and ballistics. Now the war was over, well, there was nothing left for me to do. And Sheila came along.
So I'm shouting at the driver. The reason you've never asked that question is because I've taken chances, gone out in the world and tried to do something, and all you ever did was sit behind the wheel of some stupid bus, thinking you can crack jokes at me. Jesus. Those 2 weeks in London last year were the proudest days of my life. It showed me that there was another path. A way out of this city. I was in London. A waiter in London. I could be somebody there. I had my guitar. Everything was possible. Everything was possible. Of course, it all went downhill after the restaurant caught me dealing in the kitchen and I had to come home. But I tried. And here I had this bus driver giving me shite about being some scumbag who's happened along the casualty. I got off the bus. No, he won't make that mistake again.
I was just drifting, you know? I'd sit all day in the Sputnik drinking, only leaving the high stool to put a few bob on the dogs. That was me gig, all day, every day. Then one afternoon in the Sputnik, she walked in and sat at the end of the bar and ordered a double vodka. I knew Sheila from years ago. Her brother was a fellow volunteer, got himself killed. He was making up a bomb in his kitchen. Bang, the whole thing went up in his face. I joined her at the end of the bar. We got chatting and one thing led to a bedroom. And that led to a relationship. It was all hot and cold with us. We drank and argued and fought and drank and broke up and got back together and drank and fought, and then one day in the middle of a huge session, I held my fist above her head and I was going to smash her stupid fucking face in. Well, that was enough. I frightened myself. Didn't know who I was. You know, I fought in the war. I shot and blew up the enemy. I dealt out punishment beatings, but up until that night, I'd never considered myself a violent man. So when I saw myself raising my hand like that to the woman I loved, well, there was only one thing to do. We stopped drinking, went to meetings, got married. We haven't looked back since.
Hello? An order for where? No, okay, I'll be right round.
Axel's mother, my ex, lives up the road here. The house in the end. She's had the place for a few years now. It's a dump. She used to have her own place just off the Northland Road, but she drank her way out of that place. The housing authority stuck her here.
Yeah, that's everything. Margarita, large Coke and garlic chips. Yeah, thanks, love. 10.50. Where's next? Kilkade Avenue. That's beside Skittles' place. Wonder should I drop in.
It's 2 p.m. and she's having a party.
His house is over there. Is it worth it, though? Another ear bashing. I mean, it's not that I don't have doubts about what I do. I do. It's not all black and white. There was one kid we did once I felt sorry for. The kid was a typical hood, fucking dopehead with a drink problem. The worst combination. kicked every wing mirror on his street one night. We warned him to cut it out. Then he was caught robbing shite out of people's gardens. I mean, bikes and lawnmowers and whatever he could get his hands on. Then he went and jumped a couple of St. Joe's kids in the park. The little shit wanted their phones. One kid nearly lost an eye. We knew where to get him and the time to get him. We made a 2 a.m. call. We dragged him off the couch and out of the house, bundled him into the back of the car and took him up to Craigan. But just as we were leaving the house, I saw a photo on the mantelpiece. I got closer. It was a memorial card. I knew the dead guy's face. I knew him well. Big Mackerel, we called him. Not because he was a presence, no, it was because he drank a lot, like a big mackerel. Ended up freezing to death in the back of Sainsbury's. Big frozen mackerel. Anyhow, as I was doing the back of this kid's knees, I couldn't help think that he never had a chance. Never had a choice with an old man like that. Dark fucking things happened in that house. I know that. Dark things. And here I was putting bullets into this poor kid's legs. Still, he nearly punched a schoolboy's eye out.
So I go into your house, as the usual crew. There's Terry with his bong in the corner. There's Peter with his vodka, doors and a cider. Music blasting, and the usual techno shit. There's six others out in the garden. I don't know them, so I just stand in the front room. And Dords hands me one of his cans and asks about the beating. He says his brother got one 2 years ago. Best thing that ever happened to him, I ask. He looks at me like I'm an idiot. Then out of the corner of my eye, there's a guy coming in from outside, heading straight in my direction. Are you that fucker that cracked open that owl's head? He says. He's out of his head. I don't know what they say. He's right in my face. You are, aren't you? He wants to know. So I tell him. Yeah, but it was a freak accident. He's not buying it. Accident or no accident, you still did it, right? It was like the piano music stopping in all those comedy cowboy films. All the bloodshot eyes in the room were on us. I bit the bullet. Yeah, I did. Then the next thing I know, his hand flies out. I flinched, waiting for the pain, but it didn't arrive. Instead, he wants to shake my hand. Never liked her, he says. She was a teacher in my school, battered the fuck out of me. So he's shaking my hand. Then he takes me into the kitchen to do shots with his friends. All I want to do is see me kid.
I was beginning to think he wasn't in. Then the door opens slowly. I'm shocked. There's blood on his shirt. There's bruises all over his face. I start to freak out. Jesus, Skittles, what happened to you? He doesn't say anything and walks back into the house. I follow.
Just got out of there in time. They were ordering another carryout. After all that, I find out the kid isn't there. She tells me he's been collected from school by his nana. Then she says she's something important to tell me. I'm thinking it's about Axel. But then she lifts her jumper and says, what do you think? Of what, I say. Me new tits. She's got new tits. Got them done on the NHS. On the basis it'll help with her drinking. She drinks because of poor self-body image. I told her they were great. Aye, she says. Always wanted to get me tits done, you know that, Jay. I always said that, didn't I, Jay? I said, yeah. That's great. You got your tits done and tonight I'm getting my knees done. She hadn't a clue what he was talking about. She called her ma so I could collect Excel from school and I get out of there. Now when this is all over and done with, me and Excel are going to start again. Get out of this mad fucking dump of a town.
I'm raging. I'm fucking raging. What's a father for if he can't help out? But Skittles doesn't want anything to do with it. I'll get these guys that did this to you. I'll get them. I'll hang them out by their fucking balls on the nearest telegraph pole. Leave it, he says. Leave it. Jesus Christ, I say. You have every right to walk down that street like anyone else. So what if you're gay? You have every right. It's supposed to be free Derry, you know? A place of tolerance, acceptance, reconciliation and all that shit. If it isn't, then what the fuck was the point of building the fucking peace bridge? Skittles laughs, because, you know, I've lost the plot a bit.
Oh, there he is, coming out of school now. Wee Axel. I wave. He sees me. Ah, there's the frown. He was expecting his nanny, you see, or maybe he hates the sight of me. I try to give him a hug, but he pulls away, so I say, come on, I have an early present from Santa. Perks him up a bit. I walk him up towards his nana's. I tell him to open the present, but he says, if Santa gave it to me, I have to wait till Christmas Day. So I say it should be okay. He says, no, and he'll wait. I like that. Good kid. Innocent. Then he asks what I'll be getting him for Christmas, and I'm confused for a second. I say, you're holding the present I got you? And he says, I thought Santa got me this. So I say, yeah, right, Santa got it for you, but I paid for it. Now he's confused. I tell him never mind that. I say to him, guess what? We're getting out of here. We're going to go to someplace new. Where, he asks. I don't know. Jail, he asks. What? I say. And he starts to cry. But I want to stay with me nana. You can't stay with your nana. I have to, he says. Why? Because me ma isn't me ma anymore, and you're going to end up in jail.
Skittles and his partner were coming out of the Flaming Flamingo when the two guys jumped them. Skittles got off lately. George was taken to A&E. A broken arm, two busted ribs, and a fractured cheekbone. So when I hear this, I'm mad. Now, I know Skittles is all something inside so strong, but when you get beaten up, physically beaten up in this town, you defend yourself. That's where I come in. That's why I am who I am. Me and the boss man can find the names of the haters, hunt them down. But Skittles tells me it wasn't a hate crime. The guy that beat them up was gay too. And what's more, he doesn't want anything to do with revenge. But I'm saying, you have to do something. Skittles is adamant. No more violence. Then I say, how would it look Jimmy McDade's son gets beaten up and Jimmy McDade does nothing about it? Skittles gets mad and wants to kick me out. He shouts, this isn't about you. It's about me and George. And here's me thinking, what? Are you going to get all fucking labrycifery on them?
No, I don't want anything to eat, ma! The bedroom looks weird without the posters and the toys and the records. My Les Paul used to sit in that corner over there. I put the box of Carlsberg in its place. One good thing about Derry, the drink is cheap as chips. No, scratch that. It's cheaper than chips. Come here, I want to show you something. If you look out my window there, you can see the old people's houses. No, that's where Mrs. Harkin lives. The one whose head I bashed in.
Skittles calms down, but only for a second. He puts on the kettle and while it boils, he gives me the straight dope. You want to protect me, he says. You want to hold your head up high in the street because you protected me, he asks. I nod in the affirmative. Then he gives me the whole nine yards. He says, I am sick of your protection.
Out back there is where the old people live. Mrs. Harkin lives at number 23. Sheltered housing, little houses. I do wee jobs for her. Like I do wee jobs for all of them. Do their shopping, bit of painting, stuff like that. They throw me a few quid, so that and the dough would get me a few beers and a bit of weed. It's all great. It was ticking over like that until one week, there was a fuck up with the dole. I was skint. That's the day it all went wrong.
He says, your whole life was protection. Protecting me, protecting the family, protecting this city, and what good has it done? He says it drove me away from the family, to go on the run to America. That's what the fighting has done. That's what the protection has done. It broke up the family. Broke up a lot of families. He has tears in his eyes. Just when I'm recovering from this left punch, he hits me with the right. What you're doing, Dad, is dragging us down. Dragging me down, dragging the city down. We are trying to get on here, looking to the future. What you're doing is like something out of a horrible histories book. Now get out. You make me sick.
Mrs. Harkin had been laid up sick for a week. So I'm thinking I'm skint. So I'll borrow the cash from her purse on the kitchen table, pay it back when the dole kicked in. She'd be none the wiser. Except, her purse wasn't on the kitchen table. It was in the bedroom with her. Like she's going to go on a shopping spree in there. And so, I get the soup fired up and I bring it in there. Right away, she's suspicious because it's not my day to be checking in on her. You know, she's 79, but she's as smart as paint. I put the tray down with the soup on it. There you are, Mrs. Harkin, get that in, do you? She eats. I lift the tray and I have the purse hidden in the tray and I take it out to the kitchen. I'm going through it when I hear a soft swoosh of slippers crossing the lino floor. What are you doing, Jamie? There's Mrs. Harkin standing right there in front of me, in the kitchen door. I drop the purse and I run out the door, but in me panic, as I go by her, I bump her shoulder by accident. She spins around and falls, hitting her head off the kitchen table as she goes down. I stop. She lets out a moan. Blood starts to slowly trickle down the side of her head. I'm in big trouble, big fucking trouble, so I leg it as fast as I can. I go back home. Well, I found her that night, just in time, a month in Altnagelvin. She's too afraid to go back to the house, so she lives with her daughter in Kylemore. But it was all an accident. It doesn't matter, I suppose. They don't see it that way. And I guess that's why I'm going up to Craig in the night. Because, accident or no accident, it's my fuck up.
Skittles looks at me as I put on my coat and he says very calmly, very matter-of-factly, I know where you're going. I lied, I said, I'm going back to finish the back bedroom. Then he said, if you do this thing tonight, I'll never speak to you again. I put on my coat.
I kissed me ma on the cheek. Me dad came around earlier out of the blue to give me a few quid for the hospital shop, he says. A tenner. Thanks, dad. See you in another 3 years. I head out the door. 7:30. The taxi's waiting. The taxi leaves me outside the library. The rain's started again. There's no one about. I'm feeling scared, but determined. You know, this is a good thing that's going to happen to me. My wake-up call. Walk towards the laneway.
I hate being late. Skittle's words were ringing around my head. Did he really mean it? Would he really not see me again? I was trying to make sense of it. What did this little granny-bashing prick have to do with anything? Of course, Skittles being Skittles, the rapper, the urban poet, he probably had the whole thing wrapped up in some metaphorical package with a big condescending bow placed on top. The guy's knees are probably the peace process or something fucking stupid like that. I don't know. All I know is I lost my son in the 80s when I had to go to America. I don't want to lose him again.
It's 10 past now and there's no one about. I wonder how this goes down. Do I wait or... I suppose so. Wonder how much it'll hurt. Well, probably a lot. I know a fella from Carnhill got his legs done. He said it was like getting your legs caught and twisted in machinery. You know, I think I'll go. I'll get the boat to England. That's what I'll... Hang on. There's someone now.
Turning the corner into the laneway. There he is. Little bastard. I checked the gun in the car. It's all in order.
He's walking towards me now. He's all business. He's looking around, making sure nobody's about.
I have to do this quick. No messing about. No fucking around. Get him on the ground. Bang, bang, and I'm out of here.
I'm starting to feel sick. You know, my stomach's doing somersaults. This guy looks fucking mad. He's saying something to me, but I can't work him out.
I'm asking the little fucker his name. Jay, I say to him. He doesn't answer, just looks at me. He must be monkeyed. It's the guy, all right. I tell him to get on the ground.
He's telling me to do something now. My stomach is churning and churning. My head has this pain going through it. I feel like I'm going...
Jesus, the little prick has just been sick. All over himself. Christ, I don't need this. I don't. I really don't.
He's shouting at me now for being sick. Oh, I feel a bit better, so I tell him I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being sick.
I just need the guy to get on the ground. I just want to do this. He hears me this time.
I get on the ground like he asks. I lie in a puddle. Washes off some of the sick. I look up and I see the gun. He points it at me, but he doesn't pull the trigger. He doesn't pull the trigger.
I'm thinking, I'm going to shoot a guy. A guy who's lying in a filthy puddle covered in his own sick. Skittles has a point. Horrible Histories is right.
He's asking me, have I ever seen Horrible Histories? I'm just telling him to get on with it. Get on with it, I'm telling him.
He wants me to do it. He wants me to shoot him in the legs. He says he deserves it. He says he wants to start again. Get his punishment and start again.
He's shouting at me. He's going on about how this isn't about doing me a favour. It's about paying a price. About an old woman's head. About fitting into a civilised society. About... He stops. Like he was thinking about something.
I was thinking about Skittles. What was shooting this guy going to achieve? Nothing. It won't repair what's done. It won't fix society. It won't change a fucking thing. All I'm doing by putting a bullet in this guy's leg is making things worse for me. I don't want for some little wanker to take my son away from me.
He's just staring at me. Like he's in prayer. Then I see him put the gun away. And I'm asking him. Are you not going to shoot me?
Are you not going to shoot me? He says. No, I'm not going to shoot him. Are you letting me go? He says.
Are you letting me go? I say. He says I'm going to pay. I'm going to pay for what I did. He says he has something worse in store for me.
So I make a second appointment.
Another appointment?
Yeah. Something constructive. Something corrective. 8 o'clock, I say to him.
8 o'clock what? I say, 8 o'clock when?
In the morning.
He gives me the address. He says...
Be there. You're going to pay for what you did.
And he walks down the laneway.
The boss man won't be happy. But fuck him. I just don't see the point of it. You know what it smacks of? A lack of imagination. We have to find something else to do. You know how it is. Stuck in a rut. That's him now.
I'm here like he asked.
Get in here, you little shite. Now start walking up them stairs.
What are you going to do?
Don't ask any fucking questions. Get up them stairs like I told you. You're going to pay for what you did.
Okay.
Now, get into that room.
I go into the room. And there's plastic sheeting everywhere, covering the bed, the carpet, the dresser, everywhere. Jesus, this is how they do it in the movies. They shoot a guy in a room with plastic sheeting, no blood gets spilt. They wrap up the body in the plastic sheeting and dump it. Is this what's going to happen to me? Then the bloke says...
Look on the bed and tell me what you see.
Overalls, I see overalls.
That's a good start. Half the kids today wouldn't recognise that. Now put them on and finish painting this bedroom.
Okay.
Yeah. Why shouldn't I get something out of it? This is me using my imagination. This is me thinking outside the horrible history box. So I get him to finish the bathroom too. Because I'll tell you what's wrong with the kids today. It's a complete and utter breakdown in communication. Maybe I'll get a few other kids to do the whole house. Why not? Get a chain gang going. Yeah. A chain gang was the making of Paul Newman.
I started to paint the guy's bedroom. So this is it. My new life. Feels good. After a while, I ask him, can I put on a CD? He says, go ahead, so After going home for lunch, I get a CD. I put it in the machine and I press play.